I'm rescued. You know, I was, we had a kind of a men's breakfast yesterday, and I was talking to John Brown. John and I were the only ones there at the time. And he shared something with me yesterday that, something that ought never to happen. And so I want John to come today and to share with you what he shared with me yesterday.
Okay. Hello. This is kind of hard for me. Past week, a colleague I worked with passed away. I wasn't able to attend his funeral. So in the midst of that, I started an email conversation with his mother. And we started talking about certain things. Then we got to religion. When we got to religion, I happened to mention, because she asked me what church I went to. And I told her I go to, First Baptist in Gahanna. And she proceeds to tell me about 4 or 5 years ago she attended here. And her first visit here, as they were leaving, they overheard some really discouraging remarks being said about the pastor and the church. It hit me in the stomach really hard. Because I told her, this is not what we're trying to do. This is not what Christians do. We are one body. We serve one Lord. We should not experience that. And she said she never came back.
These things ought not to be. And my thought is, as that family left and they determined they were never coming back, how many other people have they told? Do we ever think about those things? I mean, really, do we ever think about those things? The church is imperfect. And I'm imperfect. There's no question about that. But we don't stand in the hallways and disparage the church. And we don't run up and down the hallways disparaging the pastor. This is something I've never shared with you before, and I'm hesitant because I am the pastor. But there are some things that people think when we develop a certain mentality about what the church is. Let me tell you this, first and foremost this morning, the church is not a country club. The church is not some place we come to get our needs met. The church is a place we come to worship God and to serve Him and to serve others. And when we get the idea, well, first, let me back up just a minute. I'm basing this next series of sermons on this book, I'm a Church Member by Tom Rainer. And the sermon is going to be pretty faithful to that book because he says it much better than I ever could. Very short book, very easy read. And yet it is one of the most profound books that I've ever read. And as I read that little tiny book, it changed me. And I know Jerry's testimony is it changed him. And I believe if you read that book, it'll change you. But Tom Rainer said things about when the church becomes a country club, when we develop that mentality, when we think that where the membership has privileges, that place exists to serve me, and that's the reason for the church, then here are some of the attitudes that he says spring up from that mentality. The first one is, this is my church. So you have to play the music just the way I want it. Or you have to have just the programs that I want. Or you have to minister in just the way that I want it done. That's what happens when we think the church exists to serve us. And here's the thing I've never shared before, and sometimes hesitant. I don't know any pastor has, but here's the thing. Listen, pastor, You need to remember who pays your salary. Bill Bandy was the chairman of the search committee when I came here 26 years ago. Sharon and George McKenzie were on that. I want you to know that the pastor is not a hireling of the church. The pastor is called by God to the church. The pastor serves as God's representative to the church. And I've heard churches, other churches, and you see, I don't hear that those things here because nobody wants to say those things in my presence. And when I go to people to talk about those things, they are reluctant and they say, oh, pastor, I don't have a problem with you. What do we call that? Hypocrisy? Lying? Dissension? Division? Do those things hurt the church? I've known pastors who have been driven out of churches by that kind of nonsense. And I know churches that are going to have to stand before God to give an account one day of the way they've treated God's man. And I'm not just talking about me, I'm talking about elders, I'm talking about deacons, I'm talking about Sunday school teachers, because the worst thing that can happen in a church, the biggest thing that causes division is gossip and running down people. And whether we realize it or not, when we speak negatively, somebody hears it. And when we speak negatively, it makes a difference. And if you want to look around and wonder sometimes why the church is not the church God wants us to be, look in the mirror. I have. We all need to look in that mirror and see, are we here to serve God or are we here to be served? There's a difference in becoming a church member. As a matter of fact, the first chapter in his book is called I Will Be a Functioning Church Member. I looked up the word function in Webster's 1828 dictionary. Here's what it says. The dictionary defines function as the doing, the executing, or performing of anything, to discharge, to perform. I guess another way of saying I'll be a functioning church member is this. I will be a doing church member. I will be a performing church member. In other words, I will be involved in the life of the church. I won't sit back and do nothing. I will do something. Rick Warren says this. Every church member needs to do two things. One, they need to serve in two places. One, where they're gifted, and a second, where they're needed. Barb Pistone worked for 20 years in that back hallway. Very few times did she ever make it into the service. Belinda, right now, works in that back hallway with the kids. Very few times does she ever get into this service. Do you know why? Because God's people sit on their hands and don't do what God has called them to do. God has gifted us, people. God has given us a spiritual gift to use in serving Him and serving one another. I will be a functioning church member. I will be a doing church member. You know, anybody can come to church and sit on their hands. Anybody can do that. Let me get back to that list he talked about. Well, if you don't do this program, I just won't give. I withhold my check. And if I don't like the way the church spends the money, I'm not going to give at all. But I'll complain. I've been a member of this church for, you fill in the blank, so many years. So I have the right to get what I want. Here's another one you might agree with. Maybe I agree with this one. I don't pay good money to this church to listen to sermons that are that long. Well, the idea is you're not paying the church. That's the difference in the attitude of giving, isn't it? We give for God. We give out of a heart that overflows with joy. We're not paying membership dues. If you want to pay membership dues, there are plenty of country clubs all around. We can go there. Rainer says that these kind of churches, the attitude is about receiving instead of giving. Being served instead of serving. Having rights instead of responsibilities. Entitlements instead of sacrifices. Let me read the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Stand with me. Verse 1 of chapter 12, and then we'll skip down to verse 4. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there be that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophet, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray today, Lord, that as we look into your word, that your word will sink into us. Help us to see the value of becoming a functioning church member, a member that seeks to serve you, that seeks to serve others, a member where we're not concerned with getting our needs met, but we're more concerned with meeting the needs of others as God leads us and gives us his strength. Father, today I pray that we will not look at church membership the same way as we leave this place. Help us to realize it is all about you. It is all about serving you. It is all about bringing glory and honor to your name. And we pray in Christ's name, amen. Membership means we are all necessary parts of the whole. Went out to get in my car a few weeks ago, and I turned the key and nothing happened. You ever done that? You go out, turn the key, and zip. I hate cars. I do. I hate cars the same way I hate computers. I know nothing about either one of them. I know how to turn them on. I know how to get to where I'm going to go. But if something happens, I am in trouble. And the truth is, many of you are the same way. I'm thankful for those people we call geeks. And when I was in high school, God help us, we called them nerds. And many of you have called them the same thing. But if we went through our lives without geeks and nerds, we would be done. So found out the battery was bad. I've had this car for a year, and the battery was bad. But one battery kept the car from doing what it was supposed to do. Several years ago, I was going on my way to New Albany Hospital to see Angela, who was having surgery on his neck. I got lost, so I stopped at the fire station to get directions to the hospital, which was right down the road. If I had just thought about it, it was right down the road. So I walk in, and they give me directions as to where I'm going to go. I go out to my car and turn it on, and what? Nothing. Exactly, nothing. Somebody's catching on to this. I didn't get where I was supposed to go because something didn't function correctly. Do you suppose it's possible that we don't get where we're supposed to go because something doesn't function properly? 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." What we need to know is that we are individual parts of the body. Membership means we're different, but we're still one together. Spiritual gifts. If I were to ask you how many of you have spiritual gifts, all of you who have spiritual gifts, at least one, raise your hand. If you're a born-again believer, there are no, by the way, that's an oxymoron. A born-again believer is saying the same thing twice. You can't be a believer without being born again. It's like I'm a born-again Christian. Okay, I got it the first time. The eye, the ear, the nose, the mouth, the fingers, the toes, the hands, the feet, the legs, the head, all are an important part of the body. And we've been given gifts. There are four places in the Scripture where spiritual gifts are mentioned. One is here in 1 Corinthians 12. You can find some gifts in Romans chapter 12. You can find others in Ephesians chapter 4, and you can find still others in 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, they may overlap, but look at the spiritual gifts here, beginning in verse 4, and I know I've read this before. Varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. By the way, here's a reference to the Trinity. Just so you know, this is a reference to the Trinity, and that's another sermon. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What's it mean when I read to each? If you're an each, raise your hand. Are you an each? So to each one of us is given a manifestation of the Spirit, a spiritual gift. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith, to another gifts of healings, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits or discernment, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And let me just, isn't even part of the sermon, I just thought about it, come through here. The first time I ever preached through the book of 1 Corinthians, I preached that tongues had ceased. Hear me? I no longer believe that. And here's the reason. God can do whatever God chooses to do whenever God wants to do it. And for us to say anything else would be limiting what God can do. When I first came here, I had to fill out a questionnaire. And one of the questions was, what would you do if somebody stood up in your service and spoke in tongues? Well, I'm a good conservative Baptist. But I know pastors who would tell them to sit down and be quiet. Here's what we should do. Someone stands up to speak in tongues, we listen. And then we wait for the interpreter. If the interpreter doesn't stand up and tell us what God said through that person, then that gift is not of God, and we sit that person down. By the way, if that happens, you and I will know if it's the Holy Spirit. There'll be no question about it. We will know. Membership means that we take those gifts and move them together. You are not here by accident. God placed you in this body and gifted you so that you could make a difference in this body of believers. I believe that what God wants to do in this church, He has already given us the resources. He has already brought people to work His will out in this place. Now, will He bring more? Absolutely He will. But not until you and I begin to exercise the gifts that God has given us. The generation called the builders are those who were born before 1946. 57% of those in a survey that Lifeway did, 57% of those are believers. The generation born between 1980 and 2000 are called the millennials. 15% of millennials are believers. Why is that? Why is that? Why do you think? You can blame it on a lot of things. You can blame it on the hypocrites in the church. Guilty. You can blame it on the failure of the church to do what they're supposed to do. You can blame it on a number of things. You can blame it on the fact that somebody got their feelings hurt. Somebody saw things that shouldn't be happening and left. But here's what I believe the reason is. And here's what Tom Rainer said the reason was that what he believed is because God's people are not exercising the gifts God has given them to minister to the body of Christ. And because that happens, we don't really make a difference. We do things, but do we make a difference? I think on a limited basis we do. I'm grateful for the ministry to the shut-ins that Tom Powell and Barb and Bill Payton and Joy and others are involved in. And if I've left your name, I apologize. I am grateful for that because they are sacrificing their time to minister to a group that many of us forget about. I'm grateful for other workers that we have, and I don't want to diminish any of them, so I'm not going to mention them all. I'm grateful for those who have made sacrifices to do what God has called them to do, and I applaud them. More importantly, God does. I'm grateful for those with the attitude of coming to serve rather than to be served. Isn't that what Jesus said himself? I've come to serve. Why is it that we don't have enough workers in various areas? Why is it that we don't have enough children's workers? And almost every church I am aware of has the same problem. We just don't have enough. And people say, well, I'm not gifted in that area. Friend, how much of a gift do you need to sit in a nursery with babies? Just need to love babies. Anybody can sit in a nursery and watch babies. Anybody. Hear it? Anybody. Not everybody can teach a Sunday school, but anybody can help teach Sunday school. Anybody. Now, if you're an anybody, raise your hand. I want to see all the anybodies in this room. So you can do it, right? And then the other thing is you need to exercise your spiritual gift to do what God wants you to do. There is a gift of teaching. We have great teachers. We have the best children's department that I'm aware of, but it can be better. And the way it can be better is if more people got involved doing God's work in the area that God called them to work. We have an amazing Awana program. It started because one person came and wanted to start that program. She probably won't like me call her name, but I will anyway, Karen George. She's done a phenomenal job. And people have come alongside her. And people have gone to work. And people have made sacrifices. And that program is way beyond what I ever expected it to be. 85 kids enrolled this year, is that right? You ought to come around here some Sunday night and look at the kids. More importantly, you need to come around here some Sunday night and get involved. Just makes sense to me. We are different as members, but we are one in purpose. We are one body in Christ. I've told this story, and I haven't told it in a long time, but I was playing with my kids years ago, and I was running down the hallway, and I caught my little toe on a door jamb and broke my little toe. No big deal, right? It's just a little toe. And so I started limping around to keep the weight off that little toe. You know what happened? Pretty soon my knee hurt. Just telling you the way it was. Then my hip hurt. And then my back hurt. How important is that little toe to your body? No, that's all. That's all right. But isn't it important? It's vital. Take a thumb away. Try to operate without a thumb. The thing that makes us able to do a lot of the things that we can do as human beings are the opposing thumbs. Take a thumb away. See what happens. We cannot do what God wants us to do when some of God's people who have been gifted by God for a specific ministry do not do what God has called them to do. Here's some things about spiritual gifts. God wants us to know about spiritual gifts. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. And Paul's going to spend the rest of that chapter talking about spiritual gifts. And is it important? Is it important for us? Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to give us God's message. By the way, just so you know, this church at Corinth was the most corrupt church in the New Testament. They had people running around saying, I got this, and I got this, and you don't have that. And look how important I am, and you're not quite up to my standard here. And Paul spends the whole book instructing the church at Corinth what they're supposed to be. God wants us to know about spiritual gifts. God wants us to know that Christians have different gifts. Verse 4. Now, the varieties of spirit, but the same varieties of gifts, rather, but the same spirit, varieties of service, but the same Lord, and the varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers all in everyone. What's the word mean to empower? Very simply, means to give power, right? If God has given you a spiritual gift, you cannot do it in your own strength. You can try, but you will burn out, just like a match. You can light the match, and for a while that flame is hot, isn't it? But if something doesn't happen, that match will burn out. We are never called to do anything for God that He does not empower us to do, that He does not equip us to do, that He does not enable us to do. Everything that God asks us to do, He is the one who does it through us. We just need to be open to Him. We need to recognize what He wants us to do. The Holy Spirit is sovereign over spiritual gifts. Verse 11 says this. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. Listen to this. Who apportions to each one individually as He wills. I can't tell you what your spiritual gift is. I can take a guess. You can discover your spiritual gift. What you need to do here, let me give you just a way that might help you out. Try different things. If you believe God's called you to be a Sunday school teacher, go in with a Sunday school teacher. Take a look at the class. Listen to how it's done. Watch the results of the kids. And if you realize at that point that's not you, then go look for something else. I guess, and I've done this before, I guess sometimes it's trial and error. Not that there's any error with God. We need to realize that the Holy Spirit gives us the gifts He wants us to have. And the gifts that He gives us, He expects us to use. Not for us, but for others. Not to be served, but to do what? To serve. If our gifts are not used, it hurts the entire body. Back to the football game last night. I guess I wasn't there yet. Back to the football game last night. Strictly my opinion here. We have one quarterback that starts the game. Right? Nothing. Nothing happens. Nothing has been happening all year when this quarterback plays. Nothing. We bring in another quarterback and things start humming, and all of a sudden Ohio State goes down. The first quarterback played the first quarter. How many points did Ohio State score in the first quarter? None. The second quarterback played the second quarter. How many points did Ohio State score? 21. Same thing in the third quarter. First quarterback plays. How many points did Ohio State score? None. Last quarter, the second quarterback played. How many did they score, Jerry? 17. Perhaps one quarterback is better suited, more gifted to do what he needs to do in that offense. I'm not saying the other person can't play a role, but maybe that's not his gift. It's true in the church, isn't it? God gives us a gift, and I can't do necessarily what God has called you to do. I will never in my lifetime be the Sunday school teacher that lady back there that never wants me to say her name is, but she's sitting next to Tori Howell. I will never be the teacher she is. She is the best teacher in this church. She's the most creative teacher in this church. And there's no question about that. There are things that I cannot do. There are things that people, I could never direct the children's department, Belinda, never. But God has brought people to do that, and my job is not to micromanage. You know, I realize God's brought people here who can do things far, far better than I can. And so we let them use God's gift to accomplish God's purpose in God's church. Does that make sense to you? Makes sense to me. If our gifts aren't used, we hurt the whole body. Listen carefully to this one. This goes right to what John said this morning. Membership means that everything we say or do is based on a biblical foundation of love. A biblical foundation of love. Everything. Without exception, that we say or do is based on a biblical foundation of love. If you have your Bible open, just turn a page or take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I want you to know this about 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We hear it all the time at weddings, don't we? We hear it other times. That is not what it's supposed to be used for. Chapter 13 sits between chapter 12 that talks about spiritual gifts and chapter 14, which picks it up again. And chapter 13 tells us how we are to use those spiritual gifts. Verse 1, I'm just going to read a few verses. If I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, what's it say? I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am what? Nothing. How important is love in the life of the church? How important is love in the life of each believer? It is everything, isn't it? Jesus said in John chapter 13, a new command I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples. Jesus gives the whole world a reason to examine whether we're believers or not. They'll know we're Christians by what? By our love. By our love. Not by what we do, but by our love for God and for one another. Let me continue. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body up to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Pay attention to these next two verses. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Tom Rainer said this about those verses, that the purpose, that the principles of verses, 4 and 5 are sufficient to cause revival in most churches. Let me read verses 4 and 5 again. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Again, Rainer says that the principles of those two verses alone are sufficient to cause a revival in most churches. What is the purpose of this church? Love God and love others, isn't it? How many times have I said that, Tori, since I've been here? A million? Less, probably more than a million. Love God, love others. That is what you and I are required to do. Everything else in the Old Testament and the New Testament falls under that umbrella, love God and love others. So if we're not loving others, are we loving God? No, we're not. And if we're not loving others, we're not loving God, and so that purpose as a church is ridiculous. When are we going to get it right? I'm not saying that we all have it wrong, but when are we going to, as a body of Christ, when are we going to get that right? When are we going to realize it's not about what I want? When are we going to realize it's not about what I think I need? When are we going to realize it's not all about us? When are we finally going to get it into our heads? It is all about Him. And until that day, we will continue to struggle as a church. We will continue to struggle as people of God until we get to that point where we realize that we genuinely need to love God and love others. The church is to be a functioning church. And listen, I'm not talking about the building here. I'm talking about us individually. Each one of us makes up the church. The church is to be unified, even though we're made up of a lot of parts. Each of the parts is supposed to function. Last thing I want to leave with you today is, the question is not this. The question is not, should I serve the church? It should never be, should I serve the church? If you're a believer, you've been given a gift. So the assumption is that you're going to serve the church. Here is the question. How can I best serve the church? How can I best serve the church? We need to be functioning church members using the gifts that God has given us to work to His glory, to minister, to bring glory to Him, and to minister to one another. And if we sit on our hands, any of us, and if we fail to do what God has called us to do, then we are not doing what God commands. What is not doing what God commands? What do we call that? Sin. In your bulletin today, you ought to have a piece of paper that looks like this. Everybody have one of those? Excuse me. Paul uses the body metaphor to describe the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm not asking you to sign anything today. I'm asking you to think through this. And if you do sign it, put it someplace where you're going to notice it. I don't need to see it. But it can be a decision between you and God. I'm going to be what God calls me to be. Let me read it for you. I like the metaphor of membership. It is not membership as in a civic organization or a country club. It's the kind of membership given to us in 1 Corinthians 12. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Because I am a member of the body of Christ, I must be a functioning member. I will give. I will serve. I will minister. I will evangelize. I will study. I will seek to be a blessing to others. I will remember that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Pray with me this morning. Our Father and our God, how grateful again we are for people like Tom Rainer who takes things like this and breaks it down in such a way that we all can understand it. I'm thankful for the people that you use to minister to us. And Father, I pray that you'd use us to minister to others. Lord, help us to realize that you've given each of us a gift. That the Holy Spirit has given us that gift especially marked out for us. And he expects each one of us to use that gift to accomplish God's purposes and God's way and God's agenda in God's church. Lord, make us sensitive to your Spirit today. And may you accomplish in each one of us what you want to be done. And we will praise you and thank you in the blessed name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.